Well, welcome to 20th Street Baptist Church today. It's good to have our guests with us. The title of this morning's message is The Gift of Peace. And we will be here shortly in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. Now, I'm going to do a little different today. I'm not going to be so expositional, more so than I will be more topical, if you will, on a subject matter of peace. But we will refer to John 14, 25 through 31, specifically verse 27. As we enjoy this time of year with family and celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace into the world, we are presented with the very notion of peace and what that entails. The dictionary defines it as a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, riot or violence, a state of reconciliation after strife or hostility, that is, a state of peaceable or friendly relations. Peace is the opposite of anxiety or discord between persons or nations or even God. It is obvious that our world is far from knowing peace. But what about you today? Peace also means that a person enjoys spiritual contentment. And being Christian does not necessarily free us from conflict and unrest. It does promise us, however, that we have peace with God no matter the troubles we face in this life. I believe that the greatest commodity of the ages, especially in our time, is not money, health, education, or popularity, but is having and experiencing true peace. And with that said, Jesus Christ is our peace this morning and forever. Amen. Now the Bible says that there is no peace for the wicked. And this being a fallen world, the world can never know peace apart from Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57 verses 20 through 21 reads, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Now eventually, in the future, the world will entertain a pseudo-peace under the system of Antichrist, but will prove to be false. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 reads, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is to say that to be a follower of Jesus is to certainly invite persecution from the world. Now let's read Jesus' words that he spoke to his apostles at the Last Supper prior to his death. And so I encourage you, if you haven't done so at this point, to turn to John 14, verse 25 through 31, and give the greater attention to verse 27, as I said. The Bible reads, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus speaking, "these things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Verse 26, John 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now that is to his apostles. In verse 27, our key verse this morning, "Peace," he said, "peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Let us bow our hearts, dear gracious Heavenly Father. We pray today for the peace of God and peace with God. We pray today, Lord God, that we receive your word with gladness, and that we always rejoice and remember the hope, the eternal hope that we have, and the security we have in your Son, whom you sent into the world, the Prince of Peace. And Father, now as we read and hear your word, may it take root in our heart and enrich our walk with you in the Spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray today. Amen. Now, to borrow from Lewis Chafer, I will introduce four biblical aspects of peace. It's a very broad subject matter, of course, and present you with the following questions this morning. One, do you have peace with God this morning? Two, are you living in the peace of God this morning? Now, first, let's talk about peace with God. This is not an experienced peace, but is entirely positional, based on the atoning work of Christ's death on the cross. Now, it's not based on how we feel or how good we think we are, but it is based on Christ alone. It's Godward to manward. Lewis Chafer states it this way: since the believer is cleared of every indictment and even justified because of the value of Christ's death, which value is received by faith, there is secured a lasting peace between God and the man of faith. Amen. Now, one key verse that will help us in this matter is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And Paul writes this, he says, therefore, to you and I, the church today, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. By faith, we have peace with God. Now, the Greek word used for peace in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is eirene, and it refers to the concept of peace that is peculiar to Christianity, especially to the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fears nothing from God and is content with its earthly lot, that person, that soul, you see, or of whatever sort that lot may be. We are content to be at peace with God.
Amen.
Now, until a person is justified by faith, he or she is actively opposed to and in a state of hostility with God. And such a person is not a friend of God, which is or should be an extremely disturbing thought. If you're here today or listening to this message and you're a sinner apart from Jesus Christ and you've not come to saving faith in him, that should be a very disturbing thought. James writes in his epistle, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, speaking to the unregenerate, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4:4. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 through 22 says this: for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, that is the Godhead, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight.
Amen.
Amen. Now, James also writes in chapter 2, verse 23, he says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says this, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Amen. That's what faith does for the believer. Now, many are deceived into thinking they have peace with God through vain religion or works, but unless it is by faith alone in Christ alone, such a peace is false and will not hold up in the day of judgment. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 reads this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," this salvation, this saving. "It is the gift of God," writes Paul. And then in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, Luke says this, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Amen. Now that's peace with God. And it is positional. It's being justified, which is to say you are declared righteous by God in his courtroom, if you will. And it's solely on the works of Christ and not by anything we do or anything we feel or any emotions we might have. But then there's the peace of God, you see, in the believer's life. This peace is not positional, but refers to an experience. It is that certain peace only Christ can give to his disciples through right relationship. You see, it involves things like our thoughts and emotions, how we deal with life, and with our own belief, and how we trust the Lord and what he does for us. We will, in other words, experience trials and tribulation. They will surely come. And this peace of God, you see, it is worked in and closely combined with having peace with God. And that is what peace of God is, to experience it. It go hand in hand. When you are at peace with God positionally, well, then you're going to enjoy the peace of God as you live in sanctification throughout your life. Now, many have the positional part, the peace with God of salvation down quite well. Yet we fell sometimes to live out the peace of God that having been granted such a position warrants, even demands that we live out, you see. When you know that you are right with God, there should automatically be in our life this demonstrated peace that we have of God. This is to say that we often allow our hearts to be troubled and afraid by what goes on around us in a Christ-rejecting world. Right? But there is a marvelous supernatural trust to be had in God's program, in God's plan for you and the world. In our text, Jesus makes it abundantly clear to the apostles that although Satan presently is ruler of this world, he has no hold on him, that is on Jesus, at all. And Jesus was headed to his death. They were leaving to go to the Garden of Gethsemane that evening. And Jesus was headed to his death on the cross, and he wanted his followers to be at peace, knowing he had informed them of his death beforehand so they would not be surprised. Although they failed to still understand, he still warned them. And that is, in other words, he told them beforehand so they would understand it was purposed by the Father. And he was being obedient to the will of God. And it was for their sakes. And you read in John 14 verses 29 through 31 again, just to reread the text, he says, "And now I have told you before it comes." There's that prophesying of Christ to his apostles there at the Last Supper. "And now I've told you before it comes. And when it does come to pass, you may believe." In other words, God planned it this way. "I will no longer talk much with you," he said, "for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do in obedience," you see. "Arise and let us go from here," Jesus said. You know, furthermore, these apostles were to trust in Jesus' promised return. Jesus' promised return, and we are also to be aware of it. That gives us hope, doesn't it? To know that he's coming back again. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go away to prepare a place for you. I'm paraphrasing. And if I do so, then I will come back for you, Jesus said. And so his apostles must understand that Jesus, you see, didn't see it as going to be crucified. Jesus viewed it as going to be glorified.
Amen.
Now the Bible, speaking of the peace of God, and you can turn with me if you like in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. Just to touch base a little on this peace of God that we enjoy as Christians, as believers. Paul said this, and he's talking about gentleness and joy and prayer and being unified in Christ. And then he gets to verse 5. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. There's that promise of his return to rejoice in. The Lord is at hand, always being about that. Be anxious, notice what he says in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here we go, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is the verse. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word guard, you see, is a military term. It means the Lord himself garrisons and stands by to protect you, to protect your thoughts and your heart and your emotions and all that you are, because you, if you're a believer today, belong to him.
Amen.
Now, Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That ruling in your heart, that's God's peace, you see, is to be master of our personal relationships with fellow believers. That's how we're to conduct ourselves as the house of the Lord, as his body, in peace with one another. That's what to be the mediator between us always, is peace, not agitation.
Amen.
Not confrontation.
Amen.
And not frustration. The Bible also tells us in Romans 12:18 that if at all possible, we're to live at peace with all men, as much as depends on us, you see, if possible. Now Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 through 21 reads, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do what? His will, to do his will, working in you. The God of peace, you see, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ, who is our peace. To whom be glory forever and ever, the Bible says. Now, in contrast to the lust of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. If you are a child of God today, but the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says in the Scripture, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 tells us. So therefore, comprehensively, you see, the peace of God involves every kind of blessing to the child of God. Now these are not qualities which we read, the fruit of the Spirit and these blessings we speak of. These are not qualities scored by or that come from the world, you see, but by believers. They come to us because by believers we're walking in the Spirit of God. That's where those qualities come from. And with that said, in the indwelling assurance, of God's Holy Spirit, which the Father sent subsequent to Jesus' ascension, which he spoke of in John's Gospel there we had read, where Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, verse 26 in chapter 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, of course, that's to those writers of the New Testament, those apostles who brings us the Word of God. But the Father would send the Holy Spirit. And it's this assurance we have from the Spirit that grants us and gives us our peace of God and with God. In other words, these blessings. Now, you can turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And I did not intend to read it, but let me read it with you, because we quoted chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 earlier. But if you look at chapter 5, we got a nice summary here about the peace with God and the peace of God. And Paul writes to us further in this chapter. He says, and not only that, in verse 3 of chapter 5, Romans, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. There's that hope which gives us peace. And now hope, he says, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by whom? By the Holy Spirit. How? Who was given to us by the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Now, whatever our earthly lot, whatever occurs, whatever our circumstances, we can rest assured that we are reconciled to God through Jesus. And having the guarantee of His Spirit operating in us, we can live peaceably with God and with men without fear or anxiety.
Amen.
You see, I heard it said, I believe it was by Charles Stanley, once Jesus is with us, we will never be without Him.
Amen.
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 Now, thirdly, we talked about the peace with God, we talked about peace of God, and then thirdly, just to be biblical, the biblical worldview, there is the peace of a coming future kingdom on earth. This is a messianic peace that is promised when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom on earth out of Jerusalem, and Satan is bound for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. And just to share some passages with you, because that is a very deep subject, but let me just share a few passages from Isaiah, because we hear them so often this time of year at Christmas. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then here we go, church. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And notice he writes, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
In other words, it's assured.
Amen.
Amen. And then fourthly, there is mentioned in the scriptures, peace in one body, that is the church. It is the ongoing hostility that has been age long throughout all the ages. The ongoing hostility between Jew and Gentile is broken down. That middle separation is broken down, if you will. And the two, both Jew and Gentile, have been joined in one body. The church is what it's called. And you can read this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. If you want to turn there, we'll take a look at it this morning. Chapter 2 in Ephesians, verse 11. Paul writes this, being that we are brought near by his blood. You see this peace that operates within the church, this one body. He says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, Verse 12, Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus you who once were far off have been brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. And then in verse 14 he writes this, for he himself, that is Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to do what? To create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, that is, to God in one body through what? The cross. Therefore, putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, fifthly, let's get to the two questions I presented you with this morning. Now, yes, there are many other passages that speak of peace in the Scripture, many other subject areas, which we don't have time for. But let's take a look at these two questions. Do you have peace with God this morning? And secondly, are you living in the peace of God this morning? Now you see, first of all, the peace with God. Many individuals, they worry more about a relationship with the world than they do a relationship with God. More money, more degrees, better health, the right job, the right looks, popularity, power, fame, more friends and followers on social media. You'd be surprised at what will upset a person. And with this mindset, God is nowhere in the picture, you see. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. And then there's the error of thinking, I'm a good person and not really a sinner like some other people. The Scripture reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death. But since we're at Christmas time and we think of presents and gifts, and this is what the passage says of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and there's no greater present you can open, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
The Bible also tells us that the wrath of God abides on the unregenerate, not peace. John 3:36 reads, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Also, pluralism is another misconception about having peace with God. The Bible teaches us that there is only one way to salvation, and that this is through Jesus Christ exclusively.
Amen.
Exclusively. If someone ever says to you that there's a problem with Christianity because it's exclusive, that is, it excludes all other faiths and ways and religions and so on, well, then you be glad and rejoice.
Amen.
Because you're doing it right. Whatever the obstacle, and there could be many, obviously. I just mentioned a few today as to why you might not have peace with God. That is that positional justification in Christ, being declared righteous in God's courtroom. Whatever the obstacle, you are not saved and you are far from salvation. To be on a now and forever peace footing with God, a person must come to Him by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Now, living in the peace of God encounters its own obstacles, doesn't it? How does a believer live in the peace of God in the midst of a tumultuous world? Now, this depends heavily on where our heart is. Where do we put our heart? God's peace is available to us always. What is it? The questions may be asked. What is it that disrupts our enjoyment of His peace today? while we sojourn through this world? Is it due to material want in our life? Is it because we hold a grudge and find it difficult to seek forgiveness or to give forgiveness? Do we lack the peace of God because we're craving or after worldly favor and we want to be liked by everybody? Is it because we have worry and anxiety in our hearts over things that we have no control over? Maybe sin has a hold on you. Let me say to you, cut it loose in the power of Jesus' name and run into Him, and He will help you and He will give you peace. Perhaps you think God is disappointed in you today, and maybe that's why you do not have peace, the peace of God, and you're not experiencing it. But let me tell you, Jesus loves you eternally. He loves you always and forevermore. Nothing, not even you or I, can keep Him from loving us once you are His child and you belong to Him.
Amen.
Maybe you lack peace, the peace of God, because you doubt God's faithfulness, that He's able to sustain you or to see you through troubled times. Maybe you lack prayer or Bible study or fellowship with God's body, with the body of Jesus Christ. Maybe that is why perhaps today we lack peace, the peace of God. But then again, you might be living in the peace of God, and you may not lack anything. You may be perfectly content today, and I pray that this is so. I pray it is so. But it is for you to examine it, to examine your walk, and to ask yourself, am I living in the peace of God? Or perhaps you're unsaved and you need to ask, do I have peace with God, and how do I obtain it? Twice at the Last Supper, Jesus said to His followers, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. The second time He added, neither let it be afraid. This is only possible through the peace He gives us and not the world's.
Amen.
The peace that He gives, not that of the world. You see, Jesus forever abides in us. We have Him living in us and dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit. He's only as far as a breath. We are eternally sealed until the day of redemption when He calls us home. If you're a child of God in Christ this morning, you are beyond a shadow of a doubt at peace with God. Do not doubt that. And on this notion, which is absolute because of the person and the works of Jesus Christ, let us therefore relish in and live out the peace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let us all stand and sing.